Blog Talk Radio.
What happened at the New Orleans? Bitch, I'm back. I'm popular the man.
Y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi, catch my fly and my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklaces. My daddy Alabama, mama Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole like a Texas Bama. In my bag, swag.
Ooh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. Yes, I like that.
I did not come to play with you, hoes. I came to slay, bitch. I like cornbreads and collard greens, bitch. Oh, yes, you best to believe it.
Y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi, catch my fly and my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklaces. My daddy Alabama, mama Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole like a Texas Bama. Sauce in my bag. Okay, ladies, now let's get information. You know you that bitch when you cause all this conversation. Always say gracious, best revenge is your paper.
Girl, I hear some thunder.
Yes, God, look at that water. I have absolutely no voice, but this is my brand, and I got to make it move with or without. Also, today's guest is just so worth the last bit of whatever I got coming out my throat. And for real, like, if you can't hear me, tweet us, call in, be like, girl, just no. Just don't do this today, please, no. You know? Just fill us in. So I'm going to be real. The devil was busy, and that's why we started off with Beyonce Formation. I wanted to play something else. But you can't keep on keeping on. Keep keeping on when they ain't trying to let you. So I guess I played the basic warning for revolutionary conversation for everybody. I'm going to be real. I absolutely hate that, but that ain't today's topic. I don't like how everybody thinks that they woke because they know one Beyonce song and can dress like a Black Panther fantasy. Yeah, sorry. That wasn't a topic, but that's just how I feel. And I had to get it off my chest. And I kind of own a media network, so I can. Thank you, capitalism, but no thanks. Yeah, so I am Simply Nay. This is the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay. And we are all the way in here. It is September 11th, 2016. And before we thank the sponsors who make sure that we do what we do, I just want to take a moment and acknowledge why I didn't start off with a moment of silence. As I have done any other time, there has been a show on September 11th. I was blessed with the privilege to facilitate and design a intergenerational storytelling experience in Orlando, Florida today. And I was full of such a room of powerful people. I was also joined by Sis L. Hearns. My movement sisters are just everywhere. So, like, this week has been so strong for y'all, and I want to lift y'all up. And in that conversation of Never Forget, we talked about how solidarity at the time of September 11th was built around the Never Forget narrative, but how trauma has continued, terrorism has continued, and we need Never Forget that that looks like so many things. And so over 25 people got up and shared lived experiences that we acknowledged would remain confidential in the room. So I'm clearly not going to share them to 192 countries that listen to the show. We love all y'all, though. I learned so much by the less than 3 minutes each person had to speak. And I want to thank each and every one of them for not being silent. And so today, I won't be being silent for 9/11. And I hope that as we continue to never forget, that we are urging folks to not be silent. So with that being said, I want to thank our sponsors who make sure that I can say shit like that and are willing to associate their brand with it because everybody ain't down. Those folks are just awesome and we love them. I'm the Lifestyle Power Players, a 501c7 organization for LGBTQI people of purpose and professionals. If you're interested in applying, you send an email inquiry to lifestylepowerplayers@gmail.com. We're also sponsored by Eve for Eve Online, the premier lesbian dating website. I'd like to be very clear, LesLink may exist, but Eve for Eve was first and better. Much love and luck to all. There's room in the game for everyone. But the premier and inaugural lesbian dating site was not her. We love y'all too, couple friends of ours who we've set, and, you know, we know these people. And we love you too, LesLink. But we are, and I say, as the official spokes model for E for E Online, then we did it first.
Anywho, we are also sponsored by The World Without Racism. The World Without Racism, a book written by Aleda Clark. And we definitely ask that you check it out. It's available online on Amazon. And all you have to look up is The World Without Racism. Additionally, you can keep up with the entire Write the World Free movement, because that book is a part of that series, at www.writetheworldfree.com. We've got some events coming up this week, and we'll be getting into those just a little bit later. But after this song, I really want to take some time to talk to our guest, because, like, she's going to have some dope shit to say that you need to hear. So you might have thought you sent the babies to school, but school is so in session for you now. Let's see what B.B. King has to say, because, you know.
Baby, you know I've had my share. I'm here.
Can you, could you hear me, love?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I'm driving through the Pennsylvania mountains, so if I sound a little strange, that's what's going on.
Word, did you hear your intro?
I didn't. I'm sorry. I missed it because I was trying to call back in, so I'm sure it was fantastic. I know you love me.
The devil is busy. We're going to give folks another opportunity to hear from you. What do folks need to know about you that can't read or Google? Tell them now. Let's get to it.
What they need to know about me that they cannot read or Google. I would say bad bitch extraordinaire. I don't think that's anywhere on a resume that I've put out yet. So that's about it.
Hashtag... the more you know. I know that's right, sis. Listen, we really going to do some old school talk radio because you damn near about to die, and I don't want you to damn near die. I have to listen for the song to end. That's just too much. And I appreciate you for, like, y'all, like, risking your life just to have this conversation. We broadcast in 192 countries. So I feel that it's only fair that I give a trigger warning that, like, we're going to be having a lot of conversations about experiences and things that may not be relevant or may be too relevant to where you may be. But Rhea, first, like, I've thought of this conversation, and everyone who listens to the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay knows that we do not do censorship. We do not send a list of questions. We do not do conditioning and posturing on this show. So you have no clue what I am about to ask you at this point.
That's
but see, I know you're in real life, so I think this is a great conversation. Who was Rhea before she became Rhea?
So my parents are both in the military. I was a military brat, so I moved around a lot. I was always a new kid. I'm a professional new kid. So I went to different school, like, every year from 7th grade to 12th grade. And then I traveled around a lot as a performance artist doing spoken word. So I'm a transient being at heart. So I like to move around. That's what most people wouldn't actually know about me.
So what has kept you, you're based in the District of Columbia, what has kept you in D.C.? You done gone to UDC, now you're going to UDC Law. What's keeping you here with that nomadic spirit?
My wife really likes living in the district. She likes being close to her family. The other thing is that I see a lot of opportunities to have access to where legislative policies are being formed, and being having access to those spaces to talk about Black women, Black people, how these policies and laws that are coming out of the district are going to affect people worldwide and nationwide is really important to me. So I stay close because I want to be close to where power is, and that's, like, you know, the district is power central. So in order for us to change some of these power dynamics and the optics, we have to be in those spaces, so I'm here.
Ooh. And listen, in the words of Jill Scott, I'm here you're here. I'm pleased, and I really dig your company. You hear me, sis?
Come on now.
You hear
right,
me?
Right.
I'm thankful. I just want to quote an old Negro spiritual, okay? So I think, like, one of the things that I want to name, and again, like, I hold this space as my own. I work hard to be able to have this space. And those who I bring into this space are not people who I just want to give press to. They are people who are moving and show all the time where they stand.
Right.
Since you've been doing this, before you had a hashtag for it, or before folks had access to the language to be able to even say what this was, before there was a Barack Obama to be elected to tell people community organizing was a thing, mm-hmm. so then people started to pretend to community organize because they didn't want to
right.
community organize. They wanted to be president. So can
right.
we unpack, what did your infant, your baby organizing moment look like? Because it's never really an aha moment. It's like a, this might be a thing.
mine was, I was in San Antonio, Texas, which the demographics are like 56% Latino, 40% white, and then there's a small, small group of Black people in that space. And so I was one of the performers at that time, and people were coming to me. They would see me at different protests and marches, and I would be out there, the one Black person trying to represent for all of the 6% of us in San Antonio. And I didn't know that people could, like, were actually organizing for labor in San Antonio. I was working as I worked at Washington Mutual, and they laid off 700 people at once. And I just didn't understand
wow.
how a company could just make a decision to, like, people had been there for 25 years. I'd been there myself 5 years. And so that was the moment that I got into organizing when my poetry started having a more political slant. And through that, there was an organizer who used to come to the poetry slam and see me talking that shit on stage. And she just kept pulling at me and pulling at me. And finally, I listened to her, and she called me and asked me to come just follow her one day as she went out organizing, organizing the city and county employees in San Antonio, Texas. And from that moment, I was hooked because I realized that the point of being on the stage was not just about, you know, getting a score or winning the slam for the night. It was about being able to take people from a place where they didn't want to hear what you had to say and make the connection and make it real for them, and then have the opportunity to get them engaged and then activate them to start organizing in their own life and their own community. So that for me was really like my key turning point, seeing how important it is for people to be involved and invested in that change.
Child. Every time you talk, I just want to give you a hug. It's just like, I don't know. You know how you can write a period at the end of the sentence. You make me just want to, like, add a hug emoji to everything. Oh my God. It's like the first time you had good grits. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just
yes,
so real.
Yes, yes.
So with you sharing, like, how you really became this badass because the fucked up shit happened to you, I want to name something I caught from what you shared. Mm-hmm. You are now a lawyer in the making. For
right.
real, you are a lawyer. If,
right.
if you see the Fox News clip, that was lawyering, mofo.
Right.
But we're
right.
not talking about that right now.
Right.
How does a person get from artivism to deciding to battle a certain level of respectability politics, a certain level of academia, a certain level of just so, you pack so much more oppression on you just to navigate that space.
Right.
And so can you bring us through this spectrum or the evolution and the evolution, I wouldn't say or, of like the artivist to the lawyer, you know? Can you
yeah,
paint that for us?
I can try to see if I can take you here with me. So for me, it was every space that I've entered has been controlled by white men, be it white cisgendered heterosexual men. Let me be clear. So for me, it's always been having to break through narratives and having to break through stereotypes and having to be archetypal and, like, changing the frame of what they think a strong black woman is, or challenging every single aspect of their being and mine on the daily basis. So for me, it was when I started organizing, and I realized that I was here organizing in a mostly Latino community of mostly people of color, but the people who were in charge of the office were still white men who'd gone to Cornell and gotten their degrees in, you know, union organizing, and that's why they were in charge. And then once I left the, like, corporate structure of organizing and really went out into, like, Food Not Bombs and Occupy in San Antonio and trying to get involved in that type of organizing, it was still, you know, heterosexual white men at the helm making the decisions. And so I wanted to be a part of that. I wanted to be a part of the planning and the structuring and actually moving campaigns from talking about it to being about it. And in order to do that, I had to get into the structure. So I went back to school and finished my associates, and then I moved to D.C. to finish my bachelor's degree at the University of the District of Columbia. And that's really where I became I got the frame to put all of the artivism that I've been doing into an activist frame that can take me into an academic setting where I can now use the same language that they're using to be able to let them understand that not only do I know, but I'm better at organizing than you. Just let me run this shit because I can do it, you know? And so that's mainly my point, is challenging patriarchy, challenging white heteronormative standards and ideals, and any way that I can do that, I try to jump in with both feet.
So the acquisition of your degree is an act of resistance. Is that the tweet for folks who just jumped on? Come on, sis.
Absolutely.
That's what I was. Come on, Naomi. That's what I was trying to get to.
And
you
the
know,
real thing
sometimes
about
folks.
It, Nate, yeah, the real thing about it is that, like, getting the degree is such an unnecessary but necessary act, because in order to play the game, you have to be in the space where they are, right? So I never really thought of myself as being an attorney. I always thought of myself as being an advocate. Well, in order to be in an advocate spaces, to be have the access to be able to change the laws, to be able to change some of these, like, processes that are hurting the black community, I have to go through this process of playing their game and challenging white supremacy. Even in law school, they're sick of me too there, because I love to call them out on the ways that they're teaching the law from a white supremacist angle and not talking about, like, not including critical race theory as a conversation when you're teaching at an HBCU law school and most of the professors are white. But we don't have to go into that. I'm just saying. That's part of my...
But we can, because I own my own shit. And the same way that black lawyers is going to get us free, having your own independent media, where you can say whatever the royal fuck you want, because you're all the way in Zamunda.
Right.
Okay? is what we do here.
Yes,
and we are called Stand Online Media for a reason.
Yes.
There's a fist in our logo.
Right.
I don't know where you've been, but you're here now. And
yes,
if you need
yes.
to go somewhere, you're welcome to do so.
Right. Thank you. I'm just saying, it's like,
you know what I'm saying?
We just don't, like, white supremacy is all out and through, all up and through academia, right? So that there is all of these obstacles and ways to try to keep black people, because we're not supposed to know. We're not supposed to have access to that. There's only 3% black women lawyers nationwide. 3%. That's absolutely ridiculous. How can this system of criminalization not target black women and not target black people when there's 7% black lawyers nationwide? Does that make any sense to you? I mean,
never.
Me, it's kind of like a no-brainer. I have to do this.
Wow. That's deep. I would go to a song, but I'm not, because you could listen to regular radio and hear a song. Tonight, this is Real Talk Radio. It's not your auntie's NPR. So let's talk about that, right? Because like we talked about earlier, I facilitated spaces today, and we like were unpacking intersectionality. And can we talk about the facade that is progress really quickly?
Yes,
before
we
talk about
this,
before we talk about the work that you really have to do to get folks free, I think it's only fair, because I have to let folks know we're in 192 countries. The work it takes just to, like, navigate progressive spaces. Well, no, no, let me be clear. Have access to progressive spaces you can't navigate.
Right.
You're sitting there and can't do shit. You in that chair. Yeah. Helen Keller, blind,
yeah.
Deaf, dumb. Can you share, sis?
How can I? I mean, as you know, one of the positions that I hold is Executive Vice President of the National Lawyers Guild. And in that space, in the National Lawyers Guild, which was the first integrated bar, which has been the premier defender of Black Panther Party of people who have been arrested, who defended Albert Woodcock, who was recently released from prison after 44 years of being in solitary confinement in Angola, which is one of the country's worst prisons. I'm the only Black woman on the executive council of the National Lawyers Guild. So you talk about what activism looks like and what representation looks like in spaces. And we have all of these well-meaning white people who are showing up in spaces where Black people can be doing the work. And so one of my goals is to bring more Black people back into these spaces that were created for us. And I wouldn't say take over, but we need to have a more in the goals of these organizations and the way that they set out. We have so much work to do right now, and I think that the National Lawyers can be the legal arm of a lot of the movements, the movement for Black Lives, which doesn't have a legal arm right now. That's the work that we're supposed to be doing. And so one of the things that I want to do as Executive Vice President is bring more Black lawyers into the place where we were first accepted, the first integrated bar in the United States that allowed Black people and women and people of color to have a space to practice law, and where we value human rights over property rights. That's what I'm trying to bring back, you know.
So if you needed a new protest sign, Rhea just gifted it to you. Human rights over property rights. Thank you.
Always.
Just bless somebody with it today. Share on today or maybe tomorrow. You know, I'm just saying that should be a Snapchat filter. You could just take a couple pictures of places. Is that a Pokemon stop? Like, what the fuck? See, it just be too real. So, like, there's this fierceness about you, right? And it's existing in, and I'm just gonna name these things because I love you and I know you as a real person, and I know and I have seen that people find comfort in your Southern femininity.
Mm-hmm.
They find comfort in the fact that you are one of the most polite people. I ordered Your Polite on Amazon Prime. It's out of stock, but I tried. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, my polite
and
is a little bitter, but it's good.
You know what I'm saying? You pedigree, like, you know? And then there's this balance of lovingly calling in and calling out. And for clarity, I've never been loved. I've never been called in. I have been called out about, like, girl, so when are you going to get a law degree? And she ain't the only one on the list to look mad. Listen, we see you owning media and shit, but the way the Loretta Lynch situation is set up,
right?
We trying to just listen, child. We see you.
Right.
All right, thank you. And I love it, and you know, it's on my to do list. It really is. But this is about you. Anywho, yeah. How do you heal with the trauma of people who try you? You know what I'm saying? Try you because we live in a society that says you're supposed to look like Beyonce. Try you because we live in a society that says even the bitches with law degrees are then supposed to meet the man they meet in law school and not execute the law degree. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, when you roll up in the spot with your wife who look like she could cut a bitch, like, we're just going to be real.
Right.
Your wife looked like the dude in Five Heartbeats who was like, I got to fight every night to prove my look.
Right.
Like, somebody's going, like the nigga that Sophia left Hoppo for and rolled up in the juke joint with. Like, that's what you married to. How do these Jack and Jill as black women lawyers handle that? Because see this panel you about to have that we're going to talk about in a second? I can't say
that.
So I just want to say it now.
I have found I'm still learning to navigate my way through these waters. One of my professors when I was an undergrad would just tell me, like, how many people complained about the way that I called them out regularly, Dr. Gamble, Dr. Tony Gamble. She would always tell me, she taught me black politics, by the way. She would teach me, like, tell me my classmates were always complaining about me after class, and they didn't like my way that I presented my position. My wife would say that I should learn on presenting it in a way that is more pleasing and pleasant to people. But my theory is, if it makes me uncomfortable, why the fuck shouldn't I share that with you? Like, why do I have to be the person that has to frame this in a way that it makes you feel good about yourself to my detriment? I don't play those games. What I do instead is I will just call it as I see it. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes I get loud. It's not because I don't love you as a human. It's because I love you so much that it's important that you get this knowledge, even if I have to scream it at you. So my wife always takes issue with that approach. But me personally, this is just the way that I am and that I have been. In a courtroom setting, I see myself being much more capable of getting the words across without necessarily having to raise my voice. But when we're out in these streets, as a black woman, there's always people trying to silence what it is that I have to say or trying to tell me that the way that I view things are wrong or it's not right or it's different or it shouldn't apply to me because I don't have time for that shit. What I have time for is to tell you this, give you this good word of this morning, and then keep moving. That's all I have. That's all I got for you. So a lot of the other people in law school who try to stay within the respectability place of, you know, not being too loud and not being too whatever and not coming across as an angry black woman, I don't give a fuck about none of that. I just is what I is. So, and I do that with no problem. Feel bad about it. So, I feel like the people that complain are really just reflecting that they can't take the realness that is being given to them at that moment. So, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but you don't get this word.
That's it. You know what I'm saying? That's it. And I think, like, even in you navigating those spaces, you have made space. And we are going to talk about this event so that people can come, meet you in person, see who you are, get off your Facebook, because that's what they do, girl. They're listening to you on the radio right now.
Right.
So then they actively Facebook stalking you. And, you know, it's okay, but we've clarified she's married. As married, nah. Don't worry about it at all. Okay. So, yeah. That leads us right into you are moderating just this week. A panel at a conference, let me just keep it real, that has been known to be good or bad. That's the feedback I get. We just going to be honest. It can be the greatest, like, y'all win it, or it could be the losingest ever.
Yes.
Now, this
yes.
panel,
yes.
for folk who do conferences on the regular, we know there's a difference between the conference as a whole, which will be happening from September 13th to the 14th, the 2016
right.
African American Women and the Law Conference, where they are specifically looking to end structural racism, patriarchy, and violence. That's what we're hoping to do.
Yeah.
It's going
Come
down.
Up with policy initiatives.
It's being
yeah.
The
yeah,
National
the plan.
Education Association is where it's going to be held. That's in the District
right.
of Columbia. It's 1201 16th Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. And you can get tickets. They're available on Eventbrite. You can go on Facebook, and I promise you, if you put African American women and the law, it's just, it ain't 28,000 things that's going to pop up. It's what's not
yeah.
going to happen. We
right.
see you, Mark Zuckerberg. I
right,
just want
right.
to say. So can you talk about your involvement with this organization and the purpose behind the conference at large before we, like, zoom in on this specific panel?
Yeah, sure. So this summer I was a Rao Justice Fellow from my law school, and I worked for Barbara Arnwine, who is a past executive director of the Boyer Committee for Civil Rights and the Law for 26 years, and now she is the president and founder of the Transformative Justice Coalition, which looks to end economic and racial justice. They do economic and racial justice type work within the Black community, targeting specifically Black women. And so Barbara was talking about this conference that she wanted to convene in September, and so I've done a lot of work over the summer trying to find space and panelists and people and put this conference together. And so I'm one of the co-conveners of it this year. It hasn't been convened in 21 years. The first one had over 1,000 attorneys and legal workers and advocates, supporters of Black women, come to the conference. It was held at the Howard University. This year, we're going to be at the National Education Association, as you said, who is one of our sponsors. And we're also partnering with the African American Policy Forum and the Center for Intersectionality Policy Studies, which is executive directed by Kimberly Kershaw. So this is going to be a powerful and amazing conference. All Black women have worked put this conference together over the last 4 months. We've been doing it weekly conference calls, like 3 and 4 times a week, get this work done and talk about what issues are really important to the Black community, Black women community, and how we are going to submit these issues to the Congressional Black Caucus later on that week, so that we can let our Congress members, our members of Congress, know that Black women, these are the policies, this is the legislative work that we want you to do. This is the respect that we need you to pay to Black women specifically, because as the largest voting bloc, we are the ones who control who runs this country. And with that power, we want to you know, start exercising it. And so the conference is to do that. We want to end structural racism, patriarchy, and violence against women, and it's going to take Black women to make that decision to do it, as every other movement has been on the backs of Black women. So the panel that you and I are going to be on together is The Hush Among Us. It's the target on the backs of our LGBTQIA community, and we're going to be talking about feminism, patriarchy. We'll be talking about experiences of being Black and in the LGBT community, and also being in the LGBT community and being Black, because those aren't always the same thing.
Come on!
When we start getting into the white gays versus the Black gays, it gets uncomfortable, because we want to pretend that we're all, like, family, right? Except
the bottoms versus the tops versus
Come
the versus,
now. All kinds
versus
of
the femmes versus
other.
The high femmes. Don't
and
be
five,
a plus-size femme that can dress
Come on, because they tried to dismiss you because you was plus size. Don't let your head be real. You need to come to the panel. You need to come to the panel is what's being said.
I mean, and the people on the panel are going to be amazing. Like, in addition to you, Nay, we have Elle Hearn, who's representing Black Lives Matter. She's going to be there. Preston Mitchum from the Center for Health and Gender Equity at Georgetown University. Jay Morrow from UDC. She's the advisor of the Alliance Group, which is the LGBTQIA support group on campus. We're going to be out here talking about having a conversation that was never had 21 years ago when this conference was convened. There was no conversation about Black queer women or Black queer people because we weren't a part of the conversation, and now we will be.
So I'm going to just be real with you because, like, you can see my Facebook. When I did my Facebook Live video, Elle's in it, so me and Elle was just laughing yesterday that we're on the same panel and didn't know it, and like that people don't know we're friends. And so we were just kikiing about how excited we are that you are the moderator. I've known Jay Morrow since Jesus was like 6 months old, like Preston and Preston's written work, and just I'm familiar with Preston, and Preston has been on the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay before. I am very excited, and I am very scared for what could possibly happen in this space. Post-traumatic stress disorder is so real.
I am so ready because you don't even understand, like, even in the planning of the conference, even in talking about celebrating the all of us, even in trying to make sure that all youth are represented, not just STEM views, but also making sure that we have, you know, androgynous persons, that we have people who identify in a multitude of ways, not even on the binary male and female spectrum. So my goal is to have this moment of clarity and have this real moment of conversation to say, listen, we have to stop ignoring our LGBTQIA community. We have to stop relegating them to, choir directors in church and pretending that they can't bring their partners. I want to get off into the conversation and come up with some real policies that we can take to the CDC and talk about the ways that they can affirm us for the next year. It's going to be scary.
I'm sorry. No. Let me be clear. I ain't never scared because I grew up when Mystical and Master P was making music.
I grew up when
Lil Jon used to holler at you and you had to check your headphones before you started the song. I probably might be deaf now fucking around with Lil Jon and Usher. But I say that because so many people want to have conferences and so many people want to have convenings. But, like, we go back to, and I want to name and just be honest, that I am doing this for you and the work that I saw you do before people were offering you this platform.
Right.
And
so I appreciate that, Dave. Because you've seen me,
you know,
over the last few years, like, really come up and grow up into this kind of this space where I am now. Because when I first moved to D.C., I was just another organizer, you know, trying to make it out here. And I've really found more purpose, and I'm glad you've been there to see that. So thank you.
I mean, I won't even say, I think you always had purpose. I think that now you have access to the messaging for your purpose to be accepted and not feared by those who could either be allies or adversaries.
Right.
And so I have to name that in seeing that evolution and in seeing that growth, because there was a time, y'all, and I'm going to just throw that out there because y'all know I said, we need to stop looking. Look, no, we need to stop looking for friends and we got to look for community. Me and Rhea were both a part, and as well as the wife, of the Black Lesbian Support Group.
Mm-hmm.
Shit don't even exist no more. But it was a spot. And I want to name that this was years ago. This was years ago. So we ain't have no hashtag. I'm sorry. If I'd have known, If I'd have known. Because we had organizers in the space. We were in the room. You could sit and you could talk, and you didn't have to tell your business, and you didn't have to worry about it leaving the room. And I promise it wasn't going to be 20 people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so filling, and it was everything that it was needed. And I recall sitting at my first Black Joy Sunday, that my first experience in queer Black Joy was the convenings of BLSG.
Right. I agree.
And that I found the ability not only to feel safe and affirmed in my experiences in Black lesbian cisgender womanhood, but in navigating the world outside of me. And there is a real live frustration. You brought up the brother in solitary confinement. There's a real live frustration to having access to spaces you cannot navigate. I want to thank you for seeing something in me and feeling like I needed access to this space. And I'm going to promise you that I'm going to have a voice by then, and I'm not going to sound like this.
Hey, you know what?
But,
even if you have to write it down on cards, girl, we're going to get it out there. Because here's the thing.
Oh, girl, I will sign language. I will tap dance. I will listen. I'm a liturgical dance, this one. Because to the lawyer who got the queer child that's doing sex work because you don't want nobody to know your baby may be gay, this panel's for you.
Yes,
I ain't never gonna get invited back, boo. And I just ain't never. You might even suggest it, boo. But it's gonna be a whole bunch of it's just gonna come with it.
The thing is that it's important that you're there. It's important that because I know each of us, we all go out into different spaces and we talk this shit, and we talk this good work. But when we're all five of us together on the stage at the same time, Lord, I don't know what is going to happen in this room. I think it's going to be dynamic. I'm going to make sure that somebody is recording it so that we can have this to go back to. Because the deal is that I don't just want us to have this conversation and then leave without having any real policy initiatives that we can take back and work on. Because the truth of it is, like you said, you learned from me, I learned from you. I hadn't thought of the concept of having femme privilege and how that affects me in my daily life and how, people approach me or treat me differently once they find out that I'm a lesbian and, you know, that I'm married, or when I say I'm married and they presume I'm married to a man. Like, we don't have those conversations outwardly enough, and it makes it hard to and sometimes, like, break through just, you know, regular conversations. I'm leaving my house, and the man who's cutting my line is, you know, saying, oh, yeah, I didn't know you were here because I thought, you know, I didn't see your car. And I'm just like, well, I wasn't here. And he wants to tell me that he thinks my wife is my sister. And, oh, I didn't see you. That was last week, you know. So it's like we need to have these conversations. We need to do a better job at not giving our elder generation a pass because they're older and say, oh, well, this is how it was for them. No, it's 2016, and in this world now, I need you to accept me, respect me, and stop, you know, trying to infiltrate my space with your ideas or what you think is supposed to be in there. And so we're going to get into all of that on Wednesday.
Listen, so this show is only an hour. I can extend it a little bit because that's, like, how it is. But the reason why this show is on, Maria, for real, we about to really talk because you done lit me up. Like, and we've already talked about how I'm in Orlando right now because we did some facilitation stuff with the Future Foundation. Shout out to the Future Foundation. But, like, girl, this was a lot. So, like, I want to talk to you about, like, holding space to have these conversations, be it your own show, where, like, you can give legal advice or just whatever, because, like, this was too much for me. It was too much for me and not enough time. You feel me? It was like going to the buffet, but you also got to go to work. Like, having that coupon that you got to spend today, but you ain't got paid yet. Like, just
well,
so
let me
many.
You.
Like,
There's so many ways that we can do this work, because if at the same conference in the afternoon panel, I'll be moderating another panel that is about rebellious lawyering, and it's called Rebellious Lawyering and Allyship for Black Women. And so we're going to talk about how, when we get out here at demonstrations, how to do jail support, how to do protest support, how to take care of our community while we're out there. And so you don't have to be a lawyer to do that. You just have to be somebody who cares. So you can show up. We can. I'm working.
That's
at,
true.
It's going to help us teach you how to be, how to exercise your rights in the most safe way possible. And then if you need a lawyer, you will give you somebody's name and number to call as well. So,
ooh, that's everything.
It.
So we'll
yeah,
be seeing. We will be seeing Rhea on the panel. It will be
yes.
Facebook Live. I just got to talk to some people and get permission or pretend like I forgot I didn't have permission. And yes, it's recorded. So that's where my fucks are. They're in that
yeah.
same Amazon Prime order we mentioned
Good.
Before. I said I was going to shout out events. I just have to say the Future Foundation has space for families who want to go to the Vote to End Hate Community Block Party March and Town Hall tomorrow. They have food. They have fun. Judge Hatchett is going to be there. They're going to be having a lot of conversations that involve the CBC, and they asked the Future Foundation because they wanted to be intentional. And who's they? The AIDS Health Foundation asked the Future Foundation to work together because they wanted to be intentional about intergenerational conversations with Native D.C. people. So, not just natives, but like y'all folk who live here and pay bills too. We got a little room for you too. So what we're saying is we will pick you up. That's a real thing. We have a bus, and we're asking if you're interested to please call 202-909-3547. 202-909-3547. The party's going to start at 6. Coming to pick folks up from the Anacostia Metro, the Lafont Plaza Metro, and dropping you off accordingly so you have a free ride. There's no excuse. Rhea, I love you, sis. Hello? I guess we're done here. Is that what we're doing? Is that what happened? Did the call drop? Couldn't have. Oh, the devil is busy. The call dropped. That's what happens when you are trying to liberate black lives and you do intentional intergenerational organizing and the Department of Defense owns the internet that you're not FCC regulated by.
I'm here, Nay.
You hear
I'm
me?
I'm here.
See,
yeah,
then,
I can hear
and
you.
And that's crazy.
It was
Yo,
just a.
Ain't
was
nobody
going
got
through a mountain
time
at that moment. I was literally going through the mountain, so I'm good. I'm
it
back.
Wasn't them boys. It wasn't them
no.
boys. It was the mountains
they
that time.
To lock
but that shit
this
still.
Time.
Listen, that but that shit's still real though. But the shit is still. Real. Also, wait. I said that I was going to get off this call, but I have to name that they let the murderer of my dearest friend, Chef Tyon, go for killing someone on his job. If you do not have a safety plan or a support plan, and if you are not building your resources don't just mean money, it means community, it means media, it means like organizational support bases, individual support bases, shit will get the realest it ever has.
Right.
I need to name that if my community can call me for the latest tea but can't call me to help organize against this situation,
right,
I'm
right.
disappointed in everybody. I'm disappointed in everyone. And I also want to name that if you all continue to live and uphold the Commonwealth of Virginia because y'all want to look cute, and by y'all I mean the same community that our deceased sister represents, we will continue to have the state tell us fuck us in French, German, Arabic, and Espanol. And so for me and my grief, when I have to sit in Orlando, Florida, less than a mile from Pulse nightclub,
I'm going to say today that you won't kill me without a motherfucking fight.
Come on,
and you
now.
Won't kill who and what I know without a motherfucking fight. And every day that this work is done, you may beat the shit out of a lot of us, but you breathing
right.
hard and you bloody and you need a drink of water after you do it. And so
right.
I want to name to all of these people who I engaged today, who shared with us and never forget, and to all of these people who are sitting on pins and needles about the conversations that are going to be had at this vote to end hate and the town hall speaking about stigma around HIV and AIDS, and who don't even want to engage the CBC, because, I mean, really, when was the CBC showing up for anybody but
come
people
on, now.
On the CBC? I'm going to say I'll be in these spaces for the folks who will never have access. I'm going to say that I can extend my show because I own my show, but I want to see everybody have a piece of whatever it is that they want.
Word.
And support is free. Access is not.
That's some real
I'm
shit. Support is free. Access
you,
is not. That's a hashtag right there.
I'm a
support
fight.
Is
support
free.
Is free
yeah.
is. I got a shirt for you too, boo. I'm gonna bring it because we do actually
yes.
have support is free shirts where 100%
yes.
of the proceeds go to the Future Foundation. But like, yeah, that left me in a place where we would be here for a whole number 2 hours.
You're right. And we
they
could because there's so much
here.
To talk about. There's so much to talk about in that space. But, you know, I understand that, you know, radio shows only last an hour generally. And so I don't want to, like, hold you up. But I agree with you that access is one of the most important things that we should be provided to. And that's what we really talk about when we're saying the alleged American dream. It's not about a fucking house and two kids and a dog and all of this other bullshit. It's about access, because access is the American dream, being able to get in spaces that you need to be to change your life in the way that you, it's not anything else that we're being taught by white America that we're supposed to want. That's a whole other
That's
whole
exactly
other
it. And so,
you know?
And so I'm going to say, we're not going to do the whole panel on the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay. We are going to ask that you please get your tickets to support this event. We will be having the information on my page, on my like page, on the One Mic Stands page, on Stand Omni Media's page, on the Future Foundation page. If I can find a page and they're going to share it, we're going to have it shared. But you can
Word.
Also be proactive and share it too, because support is free. So let's as many people as possible support Rhea as Rhea continues to expand folks' definition of safer spaces. Support is free,
Thank
y'all.
You.
We
Thank
constantly
you.
Want to know where do you stand. And if you got the coin, listen. If you got the coin, and if you don't, let Rhea know so that Rhea's talking points are, this is not acceptable, and here's why, and here's documentation. Because they always want to say we crazy and silence us because they need an email and a thesis because that's all they know. We're going to get out of here again. It's Wednesday, y'all. It's going to happen. It's at 10:45. It's not at 10:52. It's not at 10:45 p.m. It's not at noon. It is at 10:45 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to Facebook Live it because I know that jobs are a thing.
Yeah.
And I do digital storytelling. And it's going to be the dopest situation. And you should think about having Rhea to moderate your panel on whatever the fuck you're brewing on right now. But I'll also say creating change. Y'all got a couple problems y'all need to take care of, and maybe Rhea
Girl.
Can help you.
Girl.
We gonna go. I'm gonna close with a song. I think it's real appropriate to close with Mr. Carl Carlton's Bad Mama Jamma. Because if you ain't learned shit from this show, Rhea Washington, the lady, lawyer, and revolutionary lion, is a bad mama jam. I love you, sis, and I'm going to always stand
too.
With
Thank
you.
Thank you. Word.
Thanks for being here, love. Bye.
Love you, too. Bye.